12-13. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." So we recognize that now. There's a huge recognition about Jesus, about his deity, about who he was, and a celebration throughout the city of Jerusalem as he entered, and palm trees and all kinds of things were laid before as they shouted Hosanna to him. Palm Sunday was last Sunday. Maundy Thursday, when was Maundy Thursday? Yesterday. That was yesterday. And the origins of Maundy Thursday come from the Last Supper, where Jesus gave his disciples a mandate to serve one another. In my notes, it's got swerve. A spelling mistake. I thought, we don't swerve one another. We actually do the opposite. We don't separate and swerve. We actually serve. So Maundy, the root is mandate to serve one another. Good Friday is today. We remember the death of Jesus Christ. We've got Holy Week, which is the week before Easter Sunday. And then Easter Sunday, we remember and celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. All these things are to help us remember the awesome gift of Jesus to this world and help us to meditate, to consider and contemplate in our own hearts just all that Christ did for us. And this is where we need the help of the Holy Spirit, who brings that revelation to our heart about who Jesus is, about what he's done for us, and about what it means for us individually. And so that's why it's just good sometimes just to sit and allow the Holy Spirit just to minister to us and just bring that revelation that maybe we need again. There's one thing about living in our faith, we move on, don't we? We grow in our faith. We begin to grow into our calling, into our freedom in Christ. And it's always good to go, but that's where I've come from. I'm not like that anymore. I'm no longer a sinner, but I have been saved by grace, and I'm living this amazing life because of all that Jesus did for us. And that's really part of what today is. It's remembering the death of Jesus Christ. One of the things I struggled with growing up in church was understanding the humanity of Christ and the deity of Christ. It's a little bit like trying to get your head around the Trinity. It kind of comes and goes, doesn't it? We kind of understand it and then suddenly we think, well... So I just want to talk about how important it is that we understand the humanity of Christ. Many people believe that Jesus Christ was just a good man. He was a prophet. He had nothing of God in him. He wasn't God himself. And a lot of people believe that he was a good man. They believe he died. Some people believe he rose again. A lot of people don't. Some people believe he was God and there was no humanity in him. But we believe that Jesus was both God and man, and it's important that we understand that as we just reflect on Good Friday. I thought that Jesus' job was easy because he was God. I don't know whether you think that or feel that, but that's how I used to think. Oh, he's God, he's got it really easy, hasn't he, really? You know, he can deal with temptation. It's not the same as it is for me. Or he overcomes things because he's God. And it's really important that we understand the human element of Jesus Christ. In Galatians 4, it says this, "But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons." When we read in Scripture, it's foretelling the birth of Jesus Christ. It's foretelling the coming of the Saviour, and he was going to be born through Mary. He was going to be born through this line of David, and he was going to save his people from their sins. He was born a man. Only a man can be born under the law. The law that we have was given to by God to humanity so that we could kind of resolve our relationship with him, so we could work it out. And that's why he brought the law. No, nothing else lives under the law but humanity. And Jesus came, born under the law, to redeem those under the law. 2 Corinthians 5 says this: God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Because of his humanity, because he lived under the law and he fulfilled the law, he paid the price for sin, the perfect sacrifice, that we might become the righteousness of God. It tells in the Bible that there is no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. Forgiveness always came through the shedding of blood. And if you read in the Old Testament, you actually read about the law, you'll see that if somebody sinned, there was always a price for that, and it was the shedding of blood. And so to fulfill the law, blood had to be spilled. Blood had to be spilled to bring that forgiveness from God. And Hebrews 9 describes it like this, 9:22. In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. The blood of animals, although acceptable on a temporary basis, were a foreshadowing of what actually God intended to do. The blood of Jesus Christ, the perfect God-man, was the only thing sufficient to pay the sacrifice for sin. It says in Hebrews 10, it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. The only sacrifice that was going to take away the sins of the world was the sacrifice of someone who had fulfilled the law and become a sacrifice for us. If he were not human, he would never have been able to achieve this. He had to live under the law as you and I, but he was perfect in every way and therefore paid the price for sin. He paid the price of sacrifice. The humanity of Jesus is really important, that it enables him to understand us. Hebrews 4 says this: for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. Sometimes when we are trying to work life out and we're trying to understand how God fits into that, he understands, he knows, he has experienced. And that is so important in the way that we relate to God, that he actually understands how we feel. He says he's been tempted in every point, in every way, just as we are. He understands. He was despised. He suffered physical pain. He endured the sorrows of a lingering and most cruel death. He was persecuted. He was poor. He was tempted. Only a human being could experience this in its reality and fully understand what that means for us. Jesus has the t-shirt. He's been there and he's done it. He's experienced everything that we do. And that in itself is a huge thing to get into our heart, that he actually does. So when we're facing pain, when we're facing sorrow, when we're facing temptation, persecution, he actually understands how each of us feels. So whatever you're going through this morning, whatever experiences in life you face, the Bible tells us that Jesus has been there, and therefore he understands, and he understands, and he has compassion for us. Through it all, he was still God. but he put aside his privilege. He put aside his godly privileges. He never took advantage of them. And I think that would have been one of the biggest temptations of all as he faced life, knowing in his heart that he could just do this. He could just solve this. He could just deal with these people. He could just escape from this situation. He just had to say a word, and yet he never did. We see some of that battle, don't we? How, as he was in the garden at Gethsemane, just talking to his father, going, do I really have to do this? Can this cup, can this circumstance be taken away? Please, is there an alternative to me having to die? And at any moment, he could have walked. He could have done. He could have walked. He could have got down off the cross as he was being ridiculed. Save yourself. You saved others, now save yourself. Get down off the cross. What a temptation that would have been for Jesus. But his love for us was greater than the temptation to respond in a godly way and take advantage of who he was. It tells us that in Philippians 2, verse 5 to 7, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. He never took advantage of his deity. He always did everything by asking his Father. He always got his Father's permission to do everything that he did. And all of that was because he loved us so much. He loved us so much that he went through everything that he did. Today we remember the cost of his love and understand the necessity for the sacrifice. And as we remember what he did and why he did it, we can say it was a Good Friday. Because it looks a very painful Friday, it looks a very desperate Friday when somebody is crucified. But because of his sacrifice and the impact that that had on each of our lives, we can reflect back and go, that was a Good Friday. Because without that, I wouldn't be where I am today. We're just going to share the emblems together and reflect on all that God has done for us through his Son, Jesus Christ. We're going to do it slightly differently. Is that okay? Are you okay with different? Yeah, good. First thing, we're going to have some bread that isn't dry and chokes, as we did last time. We apologise for that. We don't want any more. But you're going to come and we're going to serve one another in this corner. Just come and break bread together.